S at the end of presence has been crossed out, and it now reads, be present. I think that certainly is more important than buying a lot of gifts. Being present, people who mean a lot, probably the gift. We can be so busy, we're not present. Love. To-do list number two, wrap gifts. Cross out gifts and put in someone with a hug. Wrap someone with a hug. I've your husbands hug. I've parents love hug children or demonstrate love for one another. Showing them genuine affection. We prepare for Christmas. Number three to do, send gifts. Gift has been crossed out and replaced with peace. Turmoil in the family undermines Christmas joy. Most of us are tempted to turmoil because of all the activity that goes on. We get depressed and we get sad and get angry. It gets in the way of us really loving our friends. So we should focus on family peace as number four. Shop for food. Shop for has been crossed out and word donate has been substituted. Donate food. Instead of thinking just of ourselves, think those hungry poor. That's another good suggestion. Number five on the to-do list, make cookies. And the cookies has been crossed out in friendship. Try to circle, try to enlarge rather the circle friends season. Number six and final, and the to-do list is see the light. See has been crossed out in it. Place of it, be. Been put, be. See the light of Christ. Be present, wrap someone with a hug, send peace, donate food, make friendship, be the light. Pretty good suggestions, but I wanted to share them with you as a way of preparing Christmas. There are three messages in today's scripture readings. Three distinct messages. I'd like to talk about them briefly. First reading is from the prophet Micah, and this is the passage from which we have received the hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem, which is Carol, most of probably part. And the reason why that hymn is sung at Christmas time is because Bethlehem was the birthplace of Jesus. Prior to that, 1,000 years before, it was a birthplace of King David, the greatest king of the Jews, and Jesus is a descendant of David and promised one come in David's line to rule Israel. But what this reading's about, actually, paradox of God's humble design. The word paradox means a seeming contradiction. Jumbo shrimp means little thing, and jumbo means big. So those words mean seeming contradiction. But there are a lot of paradoxes in the scripture, in the readings we have today. You know, this little town, too little to be of any importance, the origin of the Savior of the world. In today's gospel, we have an elderly, barren woman, Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, who is the first to receive a visit from the Redeemer in the womb of his mother Mary. And then Mary herself is a small teenage girl who is the mother of our salvation. A great humility in this, you know, that the greatest things happening in the world sometimes come from the smallest, unlikely places. So this calls us to two things. One is not to be impressed with important things, important people, but to be equally attentive to everyone, because sometimes it's the smallest that can be the greatest blessing And also, if we lack confidence in ourselves, we can learn from this reading that little places, including little people, can be the source of great good in the world. As Mary and Elizabeth and Bethlehem are in today's scripture readings. So be humble. Be attentive to the humble. And be willing to see that God can do great things through you. Our second reading is from the New Testament. It's a passage from the letter to the Hebrews. And this gives us an opportunity before Christmas comes on Friday to understand in a theological way the meaning of Christmas. In this reading, the author to the letter of the Hebrews begins by giving us a reflection on what was in Jesus' mind at the moment of the incarnation. The word incarnation means the enfleshment of Jesus, the enfleshment of God, God taking on flesh in the womb of Mary, his mother. And this is what the author to the letter of the Hebrews says. When Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire," he's speaking to God, "but a body you prepared for me." Then I said, "As is written of me in the scroll, behold, I come to do your will, O God." Now, this is a reminder to us that at Christmas, we Christians celebrate the fact that the pre-existing Word of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, who is God from all eternity, at a certain moment in history, took on our human nature in the womb of Mary, who became his mother, his human mother. That's what we celebrate at Christmas, that the God who created the universe became very small for us in the womb of his mother in order to embrace our human nature and in order to give himself in love to us. That's an extraordinary thing, hard for us to imagine being true. But that's what we celebrate at Christmas time. We also learn that that act of the second person becoming a man was an act of obedience, that he was responding to the will of the Father from all eternity, that he would become a man in the person of Jesus Christ, be born, to live a life preaching the good news, to die, and to rise again and ascend to the Father. This was an act of obedience. And we learn from this that obedience is the place where we receive our salvation, being obedient to the Father. Jesus was obedient, and because of that, we've been saved. And we find our own salvation in obedience to the Father. In this reading, we learn that the sacrifices of the Old Testament, you know, the Jewish people used to offer lambs and cattle and doves as sacrifice to God. It's all been replaced by the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And what God wants of us are not those external signs of sacrifice, giving him things. He wants our hearts. He wants us. God gave himself to us at first Christmas, and in return, God wants us to give ourselves to him in love as a response to his great love. And finally, we come to today's gospel reading. In this reading, Mary is presented to us as the model disciple for both men and women. You know, sometimes you read articles that Mary is the model for Christian women. And I certainly believe that's true, but she's also the model for Christian men. It's not just one side, one part of us that Mary models Christian behavior and discipleship. No, she's the best and she's the perfect disciple. So she teaches us by what she does what we need to do if we want to be disciples of Jesus. Martin Luther, you know, who isn't quoted very often in Catholic churches, said that at Christmas, three miracles happened. One miracle was the miracle of God becoming a man, a great miracle. The Second miracle was that he was born of a virgin, not in the way that you and I were born, but in a mysterious, grace-filled way. And he said that the third miracle of Christmas was that Mary believed. As though belief is a difficult thing. And it really is. If you mean by belief, a complete commitment of yourself to trusting in God. And that's the first model of discipleship that Mary shows us. At the end of the reading, Elizabeth, who was singing Mary's praises, says to her, "Blessed are you who believed what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." And so this passage from the Gospel of St. Luke is an invitation to you and to me to imitate the faith of Mary as we approach the Feast of Christmas. But that's only one part of Mary's modeling of discipleship for us. Another part is what she's doing here. You know, this takes place, it's called a visitation when you pray the rosary, but this takes place right after the angel announces to her that she's to be the mother of God. And she says yes to that. And in response to her yes, the angel Gabriel says to her that her cousin Elizabeth, who's old and not able to have a child, is going to have a child. And Mary immediately gets up and goes to serve her cousin. Now, the fathers of the church, the early bishops, when they reflected on this, talked about the higher going to the lower. I mean, she is the mother of the Savior. Elizabeth is the mother of who? John the Baptist, who was the one who announced the coming of Jesus. But Jesus is certainly the higher in the hierarchy of things. Nonetheless, Mary, the mother of our Savior, forgetting herself, goes to serve her older cousin, Elizabeth, which is an invitation for you and I, if we're going to be disciples, to imitate her loving care for everyone. You know, that belief leads to service. Commitment of ourselves to God means we make ourselves available to other people, which is such an important part of what it means to be a Christian today. So we, those of us who stand in awe of the mystery of Christmas, need to allow ourselves not only to believe, but we have to let ourselves serve, especially those who are most in need. Then my final reflection is about Elizabeth herself. You know, she says something in this reading that raises a question for all of us to think about. She says to Mary, "How does this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And as you and I are reflecting on the meaning of Christmas, you know, that God comes to us, one of the important questions we need to ask is, who are we that the Lord God comes to visit us? Now, I'd like to try to answer that question in an indirect way by talking just briefly about angels. You know, Christmas is full of angels. It's part of our understanding of the Christmas season. Angels we have heard on high, we sing, right? And angels are very much part of the Christmas story. It was an angel who came to Mary to tell her that she was to be the mother of the Redeemer. An angel went to Joseph, told him not to be afraid to take Mary as his wife. An angel went to Zachary, John the Baptist's father, and told him that he was going to be the father of a child, even though he was old and his wife was beyond the age of having a child. And we have the angels coming to the shepherds, announcing the birth of Jesus, right? And they came in great, an army of angels, it says. So angels are full. I mean, the Christmas season is full of angels. Now, why did I bring that up? In answer to this question that Mary asked, who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Well, we know that God created the angels, who are, by definition, pure spirits. And we know that God created the angels with freedom, because there's no love unless we can choose to love. But if you can choose to love, you can also choose not to love. And We know from our Catholic tradition that some of those angels chose not to love God. That's the origin of the one we call the devil and the angels of darkness, or the demons, right? I mean, they were pure spirits like the other angels, but for some reason made a decision for themselves rather than for God. Now, this is the reason I brought it up. This is the reason why I'm just going about it in a convoluted kind of way. But in the tradition of the church, which isn't the official teaching of the church, but theological speculation, some of the early theologians said that the reason why Lucifer, Satan, and the other fallen angels chose not to love God is because God revealed to the angels, these pure spirits, that in the course of history, he was going to take on our human nature and become one of us. That God would become a man, and those angels would then be required to adore a human being who was at the same time God, of course. And these angels couldn't imagine God doing that. And that, you know, we're not angels. We're not as high as the angels. We're made of matter as well as spirit, and we're sinful and we're weak. And that God would lower himself to become one of us was beyond the imagination of the angels who refused to believe, refused obedience. They refused because of us. And so we need to ask that question that Elizabeth, who am I that the Lord and Redeemer of the Creator of the universe has become one of us? What that means is that God loves us incredibly, beyond our imagination, really, and has given us a dignity to match the dignity of the angels. And so Christmas is a time for us to celebrate that not only the generosity and beauty and love of God, but to honor the beauty of human nature. That it's a body like ours and a human nature like ours that Jesus took on when he became a man. And we need to honor who we are and honor who other people are, capable of being vessels of the divine life that God desires to share with us. In today's gospel, when Jesus came into the vicinity of Elizabeth, she says that John the Baptist, who was in her womb, jumped and leaped for joy. And Christmas should cause us to do the same, because we're celebrating a wonderful thing. So we have 4 more days to prepare, you know, for the meaning of Christmas. And in order for us to celebrate as Christians, we need to celebrate not just the externals, but the depth of what all this means for us. And we need to thank God for the gift of choosing to become one of us.